You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is John Jantz.
You know, I think entrepreneurs have always been the voice of good, the voice of reason, the most inclusive, the most empathetic group. And so I think you can make a case for saying that this type of thinking, or at least intentionally promoting this type of thinking, you know, is one potential movement or path back to maybe a little more unity.
John is a marketing consultant, speaker, and the author of Duct Tape Marketing, The Referral Engine, Duct Tape Selling, The Commitment Engine, and SEO for Growth. His newest work, The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur, 366 Daily Meditations to Feed Your Soul and Grow Your Business, taps into the wisdom of 19th century transcendentalist literature and the author's own 30-year entrepreneurial journey to challenge today's entrepreneur to remain fiercely self-reliant while chasing their own version of success. John, welcome back to On Brand.
Nick, it's been far too long, but happy to be here.
I'm excited. You know, there's so many different ways. I wanted to hit record as we were even talking beforehand because I'm excited to get into all of this. But what struck me that I have to say is a question I have with the number of meditations in the book for entrepreneurs structured there across the year, but there's 366 of them instead of 365. What day gets two?
Well, I had a little brother who was born at midnight on March 1st, and it was a leap year. Oh. Had it not been a leap year, he would have been born on a different day. And so every fourth year, February gets an extra day. And I didn't want those people born on February 29th to wake up and think, nothing for my birthday.
Oh, you know, only you are a great brother a great leap year brother. So no, but that got the cart in front of the horse just a little bit, because those that have known you from previous appearances on this podcast and elsewhere think of the duct tape marketing guy. And I think what's fascinating in the context of this podcast, both as a marketer and as an entrepreneur, that I can't think of someone who I knew who was a personal brand, who I knew their personal branding before I knew their name. You're the duct tape guy, and and this is a new direction. So what made you? I don't want to say change focus, because I don't feel like that's right either.
No, it absolutely isn't. The reality is, this is my sixth book, and as you noted, my first five books are, you know, squarely on some aspect of small business marketing. This book, so I mean, in some, you know, there's multiple answers to this. In some ways, maybe I was feeling a little burned out. You know, I had written, you know, five books, 10 years of doing that. But my work has always been with real, what I call true small businesses and entrepreneurs. And so in a lot of ways, this book is still very on brand. It just kind of happens to represent more about what I believe that it takes to ultimately build a business while you're building you at the same time. And so while there's no seven steps to get a tricky email out, it definitely is about what you have to do day to day, I think, to thrive as an entrepreneur, so that you can do all of the things that you want to do with this wonderful gift of owning your own business.
Well, it is very on brand when you think about it, because you talk about small business owners, and it seems like those are the duct tape marketers of the world too, and really something that that really kind of helps you. You know, I love your other book on the entrepreneurial side of things, the Commitment Engine.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's what made me really excited for this, because it does. It's I like that you talked about the kind of journey of self that you have as an entrepreneur, because it can feel hard chipping away from it at it there, and it can feel lonely. So having something for the entrepreneur's soul is is something that a lot of people miss in the quick bootstrapping steps to do XYZ.
Yeah, and the format of the book kind of plays into that too, as you already kind of alluded to. It's a daily. So January 1st, you get a page, January 2nd, so on. And it starts with a quote from what I think, and we can talk more about that era of writing, but what I think is some of the greatest entrepreneurial writing ever produced. Then I kind of riff on it, maybe to make it more relevant or at least share kind of my experience. And then I end every day with what I call a challenge question that's hopefully makes you think, if you take the time and reflect and maybe even journal on kind of how that impacts you. And so, you know, if you take this book, and I know I'm not the first one to create this kind of daily format, but if you take this book into kind of your morning routine, whether it's, you know, meditation or you're doing some reading already or just kind of centering yourself in some fashion before the world, you know, hits you in the face in a few minutes, it really, you kind of look at this as a practice. You know, in a lot of ways, that's what I think this book begs is to you just bring this into, you know, your daily ritual. You're not going to read a book like this and go, I'm totally self-reliant now. I've got it all figured out. I think the goal is that if you read through this book 366 days or 365 days and you come back to January 1st, you're a different person and the book's actually going to mean something entirely different the next year.
Well, I love that, and I love the focus, because a lot of time and the format too, with, you know, because so often we want to consume something and then be off to the next thing. I mean, that's kind of the life of the entrepreneur. And you talk about even the days. It seems like there's so many that I'm sure many listening are identifying with, of when you have those moments at the beginning of the day and very quickly the day is away from you, and the next thing you know, it's 10 p.m. and you're sitting at home.
Well, I have for years had a what I call daily, although some days I miss it, a practice of meditation. And I will tell you that, you know, it's easy to get just going, and, you know, you've got a meeting coming, so, you know, you just get into your routine. And when I miss those days, I don't always realize it at the time, but when I miss those days, I'm not nearly as patient and settled and calm in what I'm doing. And you know, let's face it. I mean, one of the greatest, I think, causes of stress for anybody, but certainly for an entrepreneur, is that when we're, you know, we just get going and we get wound up, and, you know, the day happens and we're worried about, you know, this meeting and that call and this check coming in, and it's pretty easy to get wound up in a way that not only affects, I think, your ability to do your best work mentally, but it tears your body apart as well. And so I think anything you can do to try to kind of calm some of that and, you know, make yourself come back to the realization that this is a joyful thing we get to do and not necessarily meant to be a stressful thing that we get to do.
Yeah, but it's easy to lose sight of that.
Yes, it is.
So I want to talk a little bit about the convergence of things that go into this book. So we've talked about the life, the struggle of the entrepreneur. We've talked about the pace and the 366 day format. But the other thing, this is already an interesting convergence of things, but the other thing you've got in there are, and you referred to them earlier as some of the greatest age of writers. And yet when entrepreneurs think of writers, it's like, okay, Dale Carnegie and right, you know, right, those are the classics in the business space. To someone scratching their head and saying, okay, what's that 19th century thing in there mean?
Well, so if you think about, first off, you know, when we were in high school and college, almost every single one of us were asked to read many of the works from this time period, whether or not we were, you know, now mentally thinking that's, they came in this small band. It's amazing. You know, Moby Dick, Scarlet Letter, Little Women. I mean, all these books that we were asked to read. And then if we got into, you know, philosophy classes, you know, we were asked to read Emerson and Walden and maybe even Whitman. And it's amazing, but almost all of this body of work that still remains classic, it was written in about a 30-year period in the mid-19th century. And here's my contention. I'm not, and I didn't make this up either. I think there are a lot of other scholars that would support this idea. If you think about what was going on in America at that time, we had been a country for, you know, less than 100 years, but we were very fractured and very divided politically and culturally. We were on the cusp of the Civil War. Women were marching in the streets for, you know, some amount of respect and the right to vote. We were trying to abolish slavery. And so the writing that came out of that period became kind of the first counterculture, I think, writing and period in America. All of a sudden, people are saying, look, you don't have to listen to your preacher or the politician or even your parents. You need to follow your own vision and your own dream, and that's actually what is going to, you know, heal us and move us forward as a country. And so even, you know, the overt, like, essayists and you know, preachers like Emerson were saying that, as I said, kind of overtly. But if you also look at some of the characters in Moby Dick and in The Scarlet Letter and Joe March in Little Women, they were extremely self-reliant characters who were kind of some of the first characters, you know, fiction characters in literature that were kind of in this, instead of kind of, oh, good things happen to people that follow, you know, their church and follow, you know, their state. This was like, no, you need to go out and forge your own path. And so ultimately, I think it's some of the best entrepreneur advice ever given. But I think you're right. One of the things that I tried to do in this book was curate a very large body of it. I mean, I represent authors you've never heard of in this book, but who are also writing in that vein. And then my job, I suppose, if I did it well, was to then maybe make that as relevant as possible for today's times. But I have to tell you, you go back and you read some things in Walden from Thoreau, and you scratch your head and say, how could that have been written 150 years ago? He's talking about today, right now, what we're doing. And I think that that's really one of the keys to why I think this connection is so strong for me.
Do you struggle to keep up with everything that's new with marketing today? Don't get frustrated. Get scrappy. I'd love to bring my Get Scrappy keynote to your next conference or corporate event. With a foot in the classroom and a foot in the field working with clients, I know what works and why, and I can't wait to share it with you during a talk that mixes strategic insights with tactical, practical tips. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics, at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard.com/speaking. Now back to the show.
So I love that rundown of the period. And in thinking of that, I feel like you were talking about the tumultuous times, and I think it's easy with our blinders, and you talked about all the different ways entrepreneurs can end up with blinders on, with I've got to wait, I get this check to come in, and mind the banking situation, and every other thing under the sun, tactical, strategic. But the context of it all, I think, is really interesting, and when all of this is happening. And there seem like there might be just a few parallels with where we're at kind of as a society right now. You talk about the unrest and even civil war and everything else.
Well, it was not lost on me that maybe the timing of this idea was extremely relevant. I, you know, we can go with this as far as we want, but I, you know, I think entrepreneurs have always been the voice of good, the voice of reason, the most inclusive, the most empathetic group. And I think that and that's a lot of, you know, what this book talks about is in trusting yourself and trusting how we're all connected to each other in this big soup. And so I think you can make a case for saying that this type of thinking, or at least intentionally promoting this type of thinking, you know, is one potential movement or path back to maybe a little more unity.
Is there of these stories in there, and especially I love the idea. I mean, because you know, it's easy. You know, we remember the ones that we may have been exposed to in school. But is there an example in all of that you're excited to share with the world?
Well, one of the things that was really important to me, I have four daughters. I frankly maybe have been a little more in tune to cases where women are not represented as thoroughly in all kinds of works. But you imagine in mid-19th century, right. They were not allowed to actually be represented in literature. It was a very odd thing to, you know, have a woman show up even in a newspaper or a magazine. The Transcendentalists were extremely inclusive in terms of, you know, who participated and how they promoted, you know, their writing. And so it was very important for me to try to represent as many female voices in this book. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, depending upon who you ask. There are more female entrepreneurs than there are male entrepreneurs, or at least the startup rate is much higher. And so I wanted to make this book is for everyone. I did search pretty hard, as I said, you might imagine. So I'm really kind of happy to bring a lot of voices that people maybe aren't as familiar with, I think, as they should be. Lydia Marie Child is a great example. Some wonderful works from her. A lot of people have read some Willa Cather because her books have been turned into movies, but maybe not that deeply. Margaret Fuller was probably the most prominent feminist of the time and wrote beautifully. Unfortunately, and probably more people would know her, but she died in her late 20s in a boating accident. But that's probably the thing that a lot of people are going to stumble in here and say, well, these are some names I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, I think that taking this moment, and it reminds me just even of the value of, you know, it reminds me of kind of, blanking on specific examples, but radio examples of, you know, like a quick reflection or, you know, almost like a Paul Harvey type of example of a story that you didn't know with some sort of useful lesson as a means of setting your day. I just think that this is a fun idea.
Well, and one thing we didn't talk about this, Nick, and feel free to edit this out.
No, go ahead.
This question I'm about to add. But one thing that might be useful for listeners, because it takes me about 2 minutes to read a page. What if we did that?
I love it. That's a great idea. No, I think you're the first to read a passage on the On-Brand
Well, and
podcast.
I've had a lot of fun with this because, you know, you always think about this romantic idea of authors doing readings and things. But, you know, in our world, that just doesn't really fly. So I finally got a book where I can actually, you know, stand up there with a podium and read something. So it's been kind of fun. So what I did is I just picked out you and I are recording this on October 3rd, I think it is. So I just grab today's, depending upon when people listen to this, this is an example maybe of what you'd find. So it starts with a title, a little reading, then 100, 150 words for me, and then a question. So here we go. Done growing. Lord, when will we be done growing? As long as we have anything more to do, we have done nothing. Lord, when shall we be done changing? Ah, it's a long stage and no end in sight, and night coming and the body cold. That's from Herman Melville, wrote a letter to Nathaniel Hawthorne it was published in some of his memoirs in 1897. And that's another thing. I'll just go off script here a little bit. But a lot of these folks that we know as authors and that are in this book were all really good friends. And so it was fun jumping into their journals and diaries and letters back and forth to each other as well. So then my part of this. So here's another question to ponder. When shall we start growing? Melville admitted in an earlier letter to Hawthorne that until I was 25, I had no growth at all. For my 25th year, I date my life. Growth requires change. Change is hard, and so growth is hard. Stop growing and life stagnates. But as Melville seems to express, it's exhausting at times, namely because growth doesn't happen by hoping or even setting audacious goals. It happens when you admit where you are now and accept all the chapters in your past without regret. From this lucid place, you can chart your growth. Wouldn't it be awesome if we got cake and celebrated each step in our personal growth, you know, instead of simply acknowledging we lived another year? Admit we don't know it all, cake. Realize we don't have to react, get a cake. Decide to leave a toxic job, cake. Hug more, forgive sooner, cake. Learn how to listen to and support team members, cake. Admit without blame that our parents' shortcomings don't define us, cake. Maybe those are our real birthdays. Your challenge question: do you tend to focus on the positive or negative traits of others? Why?
Love it. That is, I have so many different things. The first one is, as you're right with being a business book author, you know, we don't often have the chance to do a reading. But also, just as any good marketer, you want to share a free sample, and most right. You know, 200-300 page business books don't really lend themselves to a little digestible chunk, but if you've got meditations, this is all kinds of fun to share. You said something.
Yeah, I have that.
You said something about Melville and Hawthorne being friends, and all the writers in that period having that sense of community. And I never thought about it that way, but it seems like that's another thing in common with entrepreneurs, is that it seems like, in my experience, the community of entrepreneurs is strong. And and kind of the parallels between these reflective writers and this community, this industry.
Yeah, I think there's no question. And I mean, you look at, you and I have you know, developed a relationship from the work that we're doing. I have countless other folks that have graciously had me on their shows that are people that I do consider, you know, part of my community. It's funny, though, these letters that they wrote back then were just these lavish, you know, amazing, you know, they were poetry. And we send emojis back and forth to each other. But it's kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, I know. I just thought, wow, that's such a profound letter. I feel like I'm afraid my emails to John and other friends of ours aren't anywhere near as maybe I'm wrong. I'd love it if I was, but I just can't imagine someone curating a thoughtful collection of my emails. But who knows what the centuries ahead hold. You also you selected today, October 3rd, and this is going up this coming Monday here, October 7th, so very timely. But you also reminded me, and I think that's important to point out to the readers, and there's a section at the beginning of the book that's how this is supposed to be, or how to use this book. And you take the 366, and it could be easy to think that you got to start January 1, but you could buy it today and start it October 4th.
Yeah, that's really funny. Your listeners probably are familiar with Ryan Holiday, and he has a similar book called The Daily Stoic, where he went into, you know, really ancient writing. And I was talking to him the other day, and he said, "You won't believe how many times," you know, he was giving me advice on this. He said, "People buy it and they go, you know, it's November," and they're like, "I can't wait to start in January." He's like, "No, start today." You know, the book itself, depending upon when you're listening to this, will be available October 22nd. But as you so accurately point out, Nick, you know, why not start those last couple months of the year, get a head start on it, and then because there is no, you know, this, it's not like you're reading the end of the story to get the plot,
right? You know? Right. Yeah.
It'll you know, it won't matter where you start. In fact, I suspect some people who read through this or get this will jump around a little bit. They'll just say, "I'm going to pick a page," and I think you can do that too.
Well, I love that you mentioned that story with Ryan, because I was excited about this book, being an entrepreneur myself and loving the format and the literary focus. But my first thought was, okay, I'm going to buy it, and then I'll just have to remember that it's there for January 1. But luckily, you've probably, on that advice, put that section there right up front of how this works. Yeah. By the way.
Exactly. And here's my other shameless marketing plug. I'm really excited about the idea that a lot of people have mentioned, hey, this is a book I'm going to give to people, because, you know, giving your best friend a book on SEO, you know, maybe not thought so highly of, but maybe a book on with inspirational ideas for the entire year, that might just make a nice gift.
Well, it depends on the friend. Maybe you've got that SEO friend that's
Well, that's true.
So I want to close with one other question. You talk about feeding the entrepreneur's soul, but I think, you know, the real output of this that can be leading you to a path of you know, better defining your own brand purpose as well. How does all of that kind of stack or layer?
Well, I think one of the things I did in this book is it's actually broken up into seasons, using the kind of the metaphor of the year, and then each month actually has its own theme. And one of the themes that I think is so relevant for this idea of brand. I mean, if you have a solid brand, I mean, essentially that's not like all the stuff you do. It's the promise that the brand makes, or at least that the consumer of the brand, you know, feels. And I think that whole idea of congruence, that our actions and our words or our, you know, marketing emails, you know, are aligned, I think is probably one of the greatest definitions of brand, but it's also one of the greatest, you know, builders of trust and I think in a lot of ways success for entrepreneurs.
I love that. And all gets back to trust. John, as we wrap up, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
So this is one that your listeners are going to have to get in their car and just go there, because it's a very, very tiny brand, and they're going to have to be willing to go up into the mountains in a small town called Nederland, Colorado, town of about 3,000 people. In the Arapaho National Forest, and there is a brewery there called the Knotted Root, and it is very much a bootstrapped, very small operation, but they're just doing a lot of things in this small mountain community. In fact, there's an event in a couple of days we're going to to raise money for individuals who have pets who can't afford vet bills. And so there's a nonprofit that they've partnered with that is helping spearhead that operation to kind of take care of these little furry pets. And believe me, in Nederland, Colorado, people have a wide range of what they call a pet. So, but the other thing I just like about it is it's a very, you can tell they're very into their craft, even though they're just getting started and making, you know, small amounts of beer, but they make tremendous beer too.
Well, that's great. It's sounds like a great brand to make you smile, and it's a beer brand to boot. So
that's right.
Hoping we can send some folks to Nederland, Colorado.
Yeah. So the good thing is when you experience the brand, you go in with a smile, and when you leave, you're smiling even bigger.
There you go. That's that's well put. John, where can folks go to learn more about you and the Self-Reliant Entrepreneur?
Sure. So the book will be available wherever people choose to buy books. And I always like to put in a plug for that local independent bookstore if you've got one in your town. And as far as the more information about the book, it's just selfreliantentrepreneur.com. I realize that's a very hard set of words to spell. And so if you just sort of Google something close to that, fortunately, it'll come up. Or you can also find me at Duct Tape Marketing, and that's DUCTTAPE marketing.com. And there's plenty of information about the book there as well.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. John, thanks for being on brand with us.
My pleasure, Nick.
And as a reminder, you can find all those show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, if you like what you're hearing, leave a review over at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you like to listen. Help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.